Please keep your Psalter hymnals and turn in the back of them to page 63, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 52, question and answer 127, page 63. The question 127 asks, regarding the Lord's Prayer, this comes in the midst of the exposition of the Lord's Prayer, what does the sixth request mean? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil means, by ourselves we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment, and our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us, and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. Please take your Bibles and turn in them first to Isaiah 42. This is found on page 767. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Isaiah is known as one of the major prophets. Isaiah 42, we'll read verses 21 through 25. We'll also read from 1 Corinthians 10. Isaiah 42, beginning at verse 21. Congregation, hear now the very words of God. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. But this is a people plundered and looted. They are all of them trapped in holes and hidden in prisons. They have become plunder with none to rescue, spoil with none to say, restore. Who among you will give ear to this, will attend and listen for the time to come? Who gave up Jacob to the looter and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not the Lord, against whom we have sinned, in whose ways they would not walk, and whose law they would not obey? So he poured on him the heat of his anger and the might of battle. It set him on fire all around, but he did not understand. It burned him up, but he did not take it to heart. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians 10, page 1217 in the Pew Bibles. It was Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, page 1217. We'll read the first 15 verses of chapter 10. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Thus far, the reading of the Word of God. The congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when a nation goes to war, it generally mobilizes. It doesn't send one, two soldiers to battle. It doesn't send soldiers without weapons, armament. That's not the way to win a war. To fight and win a war, a nation goes in, sometimes all in. Well, we are in a spiritual war. We are combatants in this war. Now, our spiritual conflict is different than earthly conflict in a number of ways. One is that Christ has already won the victory by his suffering, his death, his resurrection. But there is still conflict going on, and we are involved. Jesus knows this. So he taught us to pray for strength in this war, to pray for it because we lack it in ourselves. We are to ask God for this. As I proclaim to you this evening, pray for God's help in the spiritual war. Pray for God's help in the spiritual war. And first, we want to consider that as we pray this, we are to be realistic. To be realistic. Now, there's a lot of fantasy around us. Popular television shows, perhaps movies, books, video games, virtual augmented reality. Not all of that's bad. And God gave us imaginations. In the Bible, God presents us with imaginary situations. We read a parable this morning. Prophetic visions. Think of the dragon in the book of Revelation. However, it is not good when we fail to separate reality from fantasy. When we think fantasy is real. It comes out in many ways. One that concerns us with regard to this request that we make in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, ties in with how strong we think we are spiritually. Many people are living in a fantasy world. They think they are strong spiritually, whereas reality is we are weak, so weak. The Catechism rightly puts it, we are so weak, we cannot stand on our own for a moment. That's reality. But how do we know that people are living in a fantasy? Well, observe their personal devotions, lack of it. Observe attendance at worship, not necessarily here, but in general. Assuming persons want to live rightly, what else can we conclude but that they think they have within themselves the resources they need to stand spiritually, to advance spiritually, but that is a fantasy. It's not reality. And aren't we all tempted with that? Consider what we read in 1 Corinthians 10. The Apostle Paul brings out examples from the church, Israel of old, failures of the church in the Old Covenant, spiritual failures, idolatry, sexual immorality, testing God, grumbling. And he wrote in verse 11, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction. Let anyone who thinks that he stands, take heed lest he fall. We are tempted to think we stand spiritually in ourselves. But this request that Jesus teaches us to pray brings before us, you and I, we cannot stand spiritually. We are weak in ourselves, so weak we cannot stand on our own for a moment. Perhaps someone will say, well, that was Israel of old. That was before the Messiah came, but before the Spirit was poured out. It's different now. We live in a different age. Didn't the apostle write there in verse 11 that we are the ones on whom the end of the ages has come? It's true. The apostle wrote that. But that doesn't mean our human, our fallen human nature has changed. Not at all. In fact, just after the apostle wrote that we are those on whom the end of the ages has come, he cautions to not think that we stand in ourselves. We are just like Israel of old by nature. The Messiah has come. He has fulfilled all righteousness. He, the Christ, he has provided the sacrifice for sin, the true sacrifice, paying for sin by his own death, his own suffering, really, truly, what animal sacrifices could never do. And on the third day, Christ rose from the dead. He has brought righteousness and life to us. The kingdom of heaven has come. That's reality, but that's not our nature. If anything, it shows us all the more clearly how weak we are in ourselves, because God sent his Son to rescue us. We could not rescue ourselves or anyone else, but God has accomplished salvation in the death and resurrection of Christ. Salvation is in him, new life, victory. He is the conqueror, Jesus is. We, upon whom the end of the ages has come, we know this, for we hear the gospel. And by God's grace, we believe it. And so all the more, we should think we do not stand in ourselves. It should be crystal clear to us that we are weak and cannot stand for a moment. You and I, we need Christ. We need the Spirit of Christ to fill us, to empower us. Be realistic, beloved. Remember the gospel and our need for the gospel. Believe in Jesus. Live realistically. The power is in Jesus. It is not in our nature. The gospel declares that reality. Don't live in a fantasy. No wonder Jesus taught us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Jesus knew he would bring the deliverance. He has done it. And he causes us to share in his victory as we trust him and live by faith, not by sight. And so the apostle wrote to the Corinthians, "Flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people." Be sensible. Be realistic. Know that you are too weak to stand in yourself for a moment. Cry out to God for help. And as you cry out to God for help, as you look for that way of escape that our faithful God provides in temptation, flee from that sin. Flee from idolatry. We'll come to that more in our second point, but we want to say something now more in this regard. If you and I, if we're so weak, we can't stand on our own for a moment. If that's reality, if we see ourselves realistically, how should we live? Let's apply this. Well, read your Bible. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Come to church worship services whenever they're offered as you're able. Come partake of the sacraments. Be nourished with Christ. Some persons out there think that, well, the church doesn't need to have so many worship services. Maybe just one on Sunday, that's enough, and I can get on with my living, my things. That's enough for me spiritually. That's not the case here at Dutton URC. There are two services on Sunday, and worship services at other times as given opportunity. Why have two services? Why have extra worship services? Well, there are a number of reasons. One is, we need to be strengthened spiritually. You need it, I need it. We need to have God speak to us. We need to hear from God's word, a voice from outside ourselves, not any voice, God's voice. We need to be built up spiritually because we are so weak, we cannot stand on our own even for a moment. We need God to strengthen us. And God uses the preaching of the gospel for that. He's instituted the Lord's Supper to strengthen our faith, to feast upon Christ by faith. We need him to nourish us. And so we pray this prayer. It fits with our Christian life to seek to be strengthened by God, to resist the temptations that come to us. Let me say this plainly. If you come to only one worship service, or if you're drowsy within that worship service, you're not being spiritually fed as you could. You're not being as spiritually strengthened as you could and making use of the means of grace. You're not advancing in your Christian life as you could. Do you want to grow spiritually? Come to worship services. Come attentively, expectantly. Of course, read the Bible in your own home. Meditate on the Bible and the gospel. Pray throughout the week. But come to worship as well. It's for our good, to strengthen us. Don't live in a fantasy world. Be realistic. We need to hear the gospel. We need to participate in the sacrament. We need the means of grace. It's one way God builds us up, that He helps strengthen us. And we pray this prayer, making use of the means. But there's more to this than being realistic. Our first point, we move in our second point, that we are also to be careful. To be careful. Now, it's one thing to be weak in ourselves spiritually. We all are that. But what makes us so dangerous to our souls, so dangerous to us, is that we have spiritual enemies, sworn enemies that never stop attacking us. The Catechism brings that up so well. Think of an earthly army. Someone joins it then and goes immediately into training. Some of that training is to build strength. You need strong soldiers in conflict. Weak ones, they won't cut it. How much more than spiritually, in light of our spiritual warfare, our spiritual weakness that exposes us to great danger? The Catechism brings out our three spiritual enemies, echoing scriptural teaching. You can see those references in the footnotes. The world, the flesh, the devil. We need to be careful of these enemies. The world. The world isn't talking here, the world as God created it. Very good. But it's the world is bound in sin. Hostile to God, hostile to us, His people. It includes philosophies, movements, institutions, persons that are openly hostile to Christians, to Christ, to Christianity. It includes attitudes, values that might not be openly hostile, perhaps, but are unbiblical and therefore try to draw us away from Christ. The world, as such, it can be involved in television, movies, books, magazines, news programs, laws, institutions, organizations, popular events and movements, even language. It spans all of human living, of a society, entertainment, politics, work. And the world is no friend to grace to help you and me onto God. Therefore, people of God, be careful. Young people, be careful what television programs or movies you watch, if you watch them at all. Be careful as you surf the internet or read a book. Be careful in the workplace, in organizations, in politics. Now, we aren't saying to avoid the world, to go out of the world. Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, said just the opposite. We're in the world, but not of it. Be careful. As Paul warns his people, be careful. Be careful as you live amongst the world and realize the world is a spiritual enemy constantly attacking. It's not your spiritual friend. There's another enemy, and that is our flesh, our sinful flesh. That affects our desires, our thinking. And we are to be careful here. We hear around us, we hear voices, don't we, saying, if it feels good, do it. Don't we hear that sometimes parents say, oh, I just want my child to be happy. Congregation, following your feelings, that's the path to destruction. Just because you want something doesn't mean it's good. Just because you want to say something doesn't mean you should. Don't tweet out whatever comes to your mind. Just because you can reason through something doesn't mean your reasoning is following biblical reasoning. Your experience, my experience, they are not to be the judge of right and wrong. Just because it feels right doesn't make it right. Be careful. Now, young people, you're at a stage, and young adults, where your body and your emotions are going through many changes, your mind, your thinking. Be careful to process all that you feel and experience through Scripture, through the Word of God, and ask the Lord, Lord, uphold me. Make me strong by the power of your Spirit according to your word, so I would stand. Don't expose yourself needlessly to temptation, thinking we can handle it in your dating, in your courting, in all of life. Don't say, we can handle it. I can handle it. No, Lord, help me. I can't handle it. Help me, Lord. And that goes for all of us. We read from Isaiah, where God had the prophet rebuke the church, Israel, bringing out how God poured out on Israel of old, on the church, the heat of God's anger. We read that, the might of battle. Israel was set on fire all around, but Israel didn't understand. It burned Israel up, but they didn't take it to heart. It says in verse 24, who gave up Jacob to the looter and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned, in whose ways they would not walk, whose law they would not obey? Later, Isaiah wrote that Israel did not take it to heart. What was happening? God made clear to Israel of old how they were to live, what they were to believe, but they listened to the world around them, one spiritual enemy. They copied the idolatry of the pagan nations. They listened to their own flesh within them, their sinful nature. It's another enemy. The church did not walk in God's ways, did not seek to obey God's laws. And as a result, God disciplined them. And yet they still did not take it to heart. They walked into temptation, fell into sin, and God disciplined them for it. That stands as a warning for you and me, for us, as 1 Corinthians 10 makes clear. If we choose not to walk in God's ways, if we willingly walk into temptation, if we expose ourselves to the world, the flesh, and the devil, I can handle it. Should we be surprised when we fall into sin? When we give in to temptation? Be careful, congregation. And there's another spiritual enemy, that of the devil. Yes, there is a real devil. Satan has been bound with Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, Revelation 20 makes clear, but that binding is in not being able to deceive the nations. He still prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. The devil, though bound, is very potent. And the devil is your enemy and mine, our sworn enemy, one of the three. He never stops attacking us. How does the devil attack us? Well, he's not alone. There are demons also. We're told in the gospel accounts, in one human individual, there was a legion of demons. That is very many, perhaps thousands, given how the word legion was used in that time. But that was one individual in the land of Israel. The devil and his demons are cunning. He's been in existence longer than any of us, perhaps even longer than all mankind. And he's no fool. He's no weakling. He dared to attack the Son of God while on earth. Now, Jesus conquered Satan. Satan and his minions attack us. Be careful. The devil tries to deceive. He lies. He attacks with false doctrine, false promises. Read in Scripture how he attacked Eve, how he attacked King Ahab through false prophets, how he attacked Jesus. The devil tries to work circumstances so we are tested sorely. Look at Job. He tries to trip us up so that we would not walk humbly with our God. Think of King David with the census he ordered. Children, do you remember some of these stories? Maybe the census may not be as familiar, but certainly you know Eve, you know Jesus' temptation, you know Job. There is a devil. He is very active. Be careful out there. So young people, young adults, don't play around with the occult. Be careful what music you listen to, what books you read, again, video games you play. There is so much that the devil, in conjunction with the world, has corrupted and tries to draw you away. He's no fool. Don't you be a fool. Be wise. Don't be simple. Be careful. Ask God for help against your sworn enemy, And as part of asking God sincerely for help, don't let the enemy in the back door or in the front door. Pray for God's help in the spiritual war. Now, that can almost be downright depressing. When we think of our weakness, we think of the enemies constantly attacking us, and it will discourage you unless and until you look to Jesus. Casting yourself upon Him, cast yourself upon Jesus for righteousness, for forgiveness, for strength. Truly and sincerely pray this prayer, and you won't have to cower or be depressed. Instead, you can be bold. And that's what we move to in our third point. Be bold. Believer, you do not stand in your own. From eternity past, God has set His love upon you. He predestined you, not for eternal shame and defeat, but for grace, for glory. And when Jesus died, He conquered sin. He conquered Satan. He paid for the sin of His people, for your sins and my sins. And when Jesus rose from the dead, He conquered death. And He ascended into heaven, and from there He reigns over all. And one day God will send His Son back to this earth, and then Jesus will completely destroy all sin and cast all the wicked, including Satan, into the lake of fire. Don't despair. You are victorious in Christ. And so we pray this prayer. We cast ourselves on God's strength and God's mercy. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As God sends the Spirit of Christ to you, He upholds you. He makes you strong by the power of that Spirit. So we read from 1 Corinthians, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And yet, we still sin. Sometimes, doesn't it seem as though that temptation, it's too much? Doesn't it seem that way? Sometimes the temptation comes so quickly. Think of someone with, they'd say, a temper with anger, how it flares up and it grabs you. It seems, I don't have time to pray about that. I don't have time to amount to defense. It's there. Take heart, brothers and sisters. Because even when we do sin, when we give in to temptation, that's not the end. God forgives. Our faith is not as strong as it should be. Sometimes we do live in a fantasy. Sometimes we're not as careful as we should be. We sin. Each one. But what do we hear? What do we read in the Bible? What do we hear every week? That God forgives for the sake of Christ. By God's grace, repent of your sin. Confess it to God. Go forth forgiven. Begin your day casting yourself upon God's grace in Christ. Continue your day by casting yourself upon God's grace in Christ and the power of His Spirit. Encourage each other in this spiritual struggle. Speak the gospel to each other. Reminding each other, Christ has conquered sin. Now maybe you think, well, that's a little awkward. It doesn't matter. As you do it, as we grow in it, it becomes less awkward and it becomes more natural to speak the gospel throughout the week to each other. Husbands, speak it to your wives. Wives, speak it to your husbands. Encourage one another. Speak it to your children. Speak it to others. And we think of you're in searching for a pastor. God calls the pastor to shepherd the flock. God calls elders to shepherd the flock. But He also calls each of His children. Encourage one another. Speak the gospel of Christ's victory. The conquering over sin, there's strength in Him. Boyfriend and girlfriend, encourage each other. And children, when you get upset with your brother or sister, maybe they've taken a toy of yours. Maybe they jumped in front of the line, or maybe they said something that wasn't nice. And you want to get upset, don't you? Ask God. Confess that to God. Say, God, Father, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me to love my brother or sister. Thank you for Jesus, who died for my sin and was raised so I would live, would love. Children, you can pray that. Ask God to help you as you struggle. He's your Father. And talk to your mom and dad also. And tell them you're having a hard time in doing what's right, in wanting to do what's right. Ask your mom or dad to pray with you, to pray for you. It's a wonderful way to live as a family, to encourage one another. We all need this. Parents, come alongside your children in their struggles. Gently, patiently, point them to the spiritual strength that is theirs in Christ. Those are wonderful times of discipling your children, of turning something that is an irritation, that is a disturbance in the family, to turn it into not only teaching, but helping, training, of living as a child of God. Make the most of that. As the Catechism puts it, ask God to uphold you and make you strong so you would not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist your enemies. Live boldly for Jesus in His power. And be encouraged. A time is coming when the spiritual fight will be over. If the Lord doesn't return to earth before you die and I die, well, when you die, God will take your soul to heaven, purifying you from the sin of the flesh, removing you beyond the reach of the world and the devil. And then on the last day, when God sends Jesus back, He will raise your body in glory, not in weakness any longer. Body and soul, you and I, all God's children, will enter into the new heavens and earth. There will be no more sin, no more sinful world or flesh, no more devil, no more occasion for sin. The glory of God will fill all creation, including ourselves, as God created us to be and to live. We hear this message, this good news. You do not stand alone. You don't stand in your own strength. Trust Jesus. Be strengthened by His Spirit. Live boldly for Jesus till He comes again, and that day is coming. The reality, not fantasy, the reality has already come to pass in Christ's death and resurrection. Remember and believe. Hold fast to Christ. And be bold for Him. Don't fear the world. Don't fear the flesh or the devil. Be careful. But don't be paralyzed. You're joined to Christ by faith, believer. You're joined to the Son of God who's conquered. So pray for God's help in the spiritual war. Live by faith. Live boldly. May He receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Father, Sovereign God, we confess we are too weak to hold our own even for one moment. But Christ, He has conquered. In Him is all righteousness, is all strength. And so make us strong. Fill us with the Spirit of Christ. Cause us to realize our weakness and to cast ourselves upon You. And as we do so, strengthen us. And grant us grace that we would encourage one another. And in all this, would You build us up and send Your Son back? We long for that day when our faith will be sight. Sustain us till then, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.